Of the Lord's Word, I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. A people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I want to focus our attention on that one incredible prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 6. So let me do that by asking a few questions. Does anyone here have a need for wisdom? Does anyone here have a need for sound counsel, for knowing what to do and when to do it? Do you need truthful, helpful advice concerning your relationships and your kids, your parenting, your temptations, and your goals? Well, of course you do. Everyone has a need for wisdom. Anyone here needs strength? Are you overburdened? Are you worn out? Do you feel like you're at times powerless? And perhaps you feel overwhelmed and just defeated. You know, perhaps your heart is crying out for someone to love you, to value you, to remember you. Perhaps your greatest need right now is just to say, this is where I belong. Perhaps you feel crushed by guilt or ripped apart by anxiety. You know, if we're honest, if we're truthful, if we have any integrity, we all have a great need for wisdom. We need strength outside of ourselves. We all have a great need for someone to love us. And we all have hearts that are riddled by guilt and torn by anxiety and worry. So God has answers to meet the true needs of the human heart. He knows we need wisdom. He knows we need strength and love and forgiveness. So in eternity past, when the Lord looked down upon humanity, he knew what we needed. And listening to our childish demands of what we wanted, it did not confuse him. He really desired to give us what we needed, not just what we wanted. He knew, and he knows that our lives apart from his counsel will and would self-destruct. He knew and he knows that human beings are frail and feeble. Indeed, we are as a flower here today, gone tomorrow, and its place remembers it no more. Moses says, you maybe have 70, 80 years. Well, the Lord knows we need strength, doesn't he? He knew and he knows that our hearts would be utterly restless, as Augustine said, until we find rest in his acceptance. They will be. He knew that without the intentional intervention of his gracious plan of salvation, we would die in our guilt and be banished from love, capital L, forever. So God knows the true needs of the human heart. And he knows those needs cannot be met apart from him and apart from a relationship with him. We do need wisdom. We do need strength. We do need someone to love us and to rest in that. And we do need a lot of forgiveness every single day. So therefore, in verse 6, God decided to give a birth announcement. Now, this is no normal birth announcement, is it? This birth announcement was made hundreds of years before the child ever arrived. I mean, have you ever received a birth announcement before the child was born? Now, did you notice how the child was and is described? He is described by four great names. This is what this child will be. This is who he is. And these names tell us who this incarnate Son of God is. And they do so in terms of his gifts to us. So hundreds of years before, God says, I'm going to give you a present. And it will be the present of all presents. So by describing him as a wonderful counselor, the verse tells us that he is a source of divine wisdom. By describing him as the mighty God, we are told that he will help us with our inability and our frailty. By describing him as the everlasting Father, we are told of his affection for us and our adoption into his family. And by describing him as the Prince of Peace, we are told of his alleviating our guilt and ending the war between humanity and God. You know, usually when you receive a birth announcement, if you are close to the family, you buy the baby a gift, right? A onesie or one of those diaper things that has their little initials on the back. But this child is God's gift to us. His gift to meet the needs of your longing heart. So let's just look at his names. For it is in understanding his names that you will begin to relish the gift. So he is called Wonderful Counselor. Now why is Jesus described as a wonderful counselor? Well, what does a wonderful counselor do? One that you could go to. What does he do? What does she do? Well, a wonderful counselor listens. And a wonderful counselor identifies with you. He listens so that he can understand, so that he knows what it was like to grow up in your family. What it was like to be in your house. What it was like to have your temptations and your struggles and your sorrows and your joys. For when he understands, he is then able to speak truth into your particular situation. We need counsel. You know, the Lord is saying he knows what it is like to be alone and in the darkness. Jesus knew that. And Jesus knows the deep needs of your heart. A wise counselor listens to you, and he listens to you. As he listens to you, he is learning how you see things. He is learning how you interpret things. He is learning what is really important to you, what drives you, what's at the core of your being. He is learning what makes you tick and what you believe. For he knows that what you believe will determine how you behave. And how you behave will impact all of your relationships. And soon that counselor begins to know why you do what you do. He knows what it is like that you have, you know, what it is that you've based your identity on and your significance on, your life upon. He knows that. He understands you. Proverbs 25 puts it this way. This is how the wonderful counselor is described. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. That's Jesus. This wonderful counselor listens, right? Not only does the wonderful counselor listen, but he gives direction by speaking truth. He's not just another human voice in your ear. The Lord knows what we need. Listen, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Isn't that true about us? Jesus has come to speak truth to us about ourselves. He has come to tell us that our way, a way that seems so right, if it is not his way, will really lead to destruction and devastation. Isn't that true? Isn't that true of America? Isn't that true of our neighbors and our friends? You know, and it takes some serious courage to be able to do that as a wonderful counselor. It takes guts to tell someone that they've kind of messed up, especially when they're totally convinced that all their current problems are caused by everyone and everything else except them. So Jesus has come to give you and I counsel. He brings counsel from above. He is not like most therapists who can only give you hope in your own self-confidence to build up your self-image. Jesus builds up your self-image by saying, I love you. Listen to me. And Jesus gives real hope, hope of real change, a hope infused with a new perspective. So let me ask you, have you heard his counsel? Have you listened to him? It's all written there in the Bible that you brought with you to church. Do you know his perspective and what it is that really makes life worth living? And not only have you heard his counsel, but do you heed it? Do you do it? Not perfectly. So he's a wonderful counselor who listens, who identifies, who speaks the truth to help, to heal, and really to transform human beings. His counsel transforms people who used to think life was all about them into those who find their deepest delight in serving the Lord and serving other people. Could you imagine a society like that? Instead of fighting each other, we care for each other. People who love the Lord God and love their neighbor. So not only is this gift to us a wonderful counselor, he is also called the mighty God. Not a God, not a weak God, the mighty God. Because it was he, Jesus, yes, little Jesus in the cradle. It was him who called this world into existence with just his word, let there be light. The little baby sustains it in the power of his fingertips. He called this world to existence, and it is he who sustains it. It is He who calls out the stars one by one every single night, and it is He who knows the name, the true name, of each and every one of them. We maybe see, 7,000 of them on a clear night, which doesn't really happen in Louisiana. But He sees all the galaxies that are ever expanding in every star. No, I mean, some of y'all have traveled outside of Louisiana. Does Niagara Falls impress you with its thundering, roaring water? Are you struck by it? How about the Rocky Mountains? If you've driven up or climbed up to 14,350 feet, and you get there and you look out at the massive snow-capped peaks, and you just say, I am so small. Can I tell you that for the mighty God, the Christ child, Niagara Falls is a drop in His bucket. The Rocky Mountains are little anthills to Him. You know, what is the essence of worship? What do? Every Sunday, we remember God's ways and God's works. So we say, that's who He is. That's what He's done. That's what He will do for me. You remember that this God made Pharaoh quake. Oh, the most powerful person in the world, right? He made Pharaoh quake in his sandals and gave his army a little bath that Egypt would always remember. You remember that He parted the ocean with just a wave of His hand. Moses, just stretch out your rod. You remember that He stopped a massive storm from drowning His disciples by just speaking a few words. Enough! Peace be still! What was the disciples' reaction after that? They got a glimpse of glory that had been veiled. You remember that He touched the blind and all of a sudden they could see. Jesus, have mercy on me, said Zacchaeus. Right? You remember that He touched the lepers and they were cleansed. You remember that He told people that had never walked ever in their life before, hundreds of people, the lame, stand up and walk. And they were restored in front of thousands of eyes. Thousands of eyewitnesses. You remember that He called out in a loud voice. Just one of His minor miracles, by the way. He called out in a loud voice to His friend Lazarus, who has been dead 3 days. Lazarus, come forth. And His voice, His word, traveled across the barrier of death. And Lazarus lived again. Oh, He is a mighty God, isn't He? Veiled in flesh, His glory we see. Now, what does this historical theology lesson have to do with you? Oh, the Apostle Paul put it this way, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power. That's resurrection power, Lazarus, according to His power that is work within His people. That's a mighty God. So, oh, dear saint, are you overwhelmed? Are you? Do you find that you have hardly any strength in and of yourself just to go on, just to pay your bills, just to clean the diaper again, just to go to work? Do you feel like you just want to quit and lay down in the valley of the shadow of death instead of walking through it? And I want to tell you, then you need to take heart, my friend, because you are not alone. The mighty God is with you if you know Jesus Christ. The mighty God is on your side, you people of God, and at your side. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your immediate help in trouble. I mean, did He not say to you, to His disciples, early on when they did not know what to do? The church was a dream. But you, You, 12 little disciples against the world, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So my God, your God, is not an invalid. He is one who enables his children to mount up on wings on eagles and to soar as high as their faith will take them. So God gave his Son so that we might hear counsel outside of ourselves. God gave us his Son to fill us with his Holy Spirit and enable us to go on with joy until we are called home. He is a wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. And third, in terms of our gifts to us, he is the everlasting Father. That's a bit strange, isn't it? When he's talking about the Christ child, this incredible prophecy, he will be called the everlasting Father. Now, does that blur the distinction between God the Father and God the Son? No. It's just a way of the Father saying, everything that I am, he is. The one at Bethlehem. And you know what? That's just good theology. What this term, Father, really talks about is our becoming members of God's family. What would you do without your family? It speaks of belonging. You see, apart from Jesus sacrificing himself for our sins and being the substitute for our punishment, we do not belong to God's family. We don't. Without faith in Christ's death on the cross as a payment for my sins, I do not belong to God. I am still in my sins. I would be alienated from the Lord. But Jesus has made a way for you and I and all who would come to him to be his and to be our Father. To be in relationship with our Father. Now, I understand this. I understand that the word Father, for many of you, may bring up images that you do not like. You don't like that word. Your father may have been characterized by being distant, cold, harsh, withdrawn, disengaged, overly critical, and just irritated at you all the time. But Jesus' Father is warm. He's winsome. He's truthful. He's kind. He's good. He delights in his children, and he loves it when they seek to please him by their imperfect attempts. His love is as vast as the ocean, and it is as boundless as the sky. So do you know anything of belonging to this Father? Can you say, that's the word I love about the Lord's Prayer, Father? You know, I find it hard. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, every Sunday, I find it hard to get past that word. Heavenly Father. Do you know that you can talk to him at any time, day or night? Do you know what the greatest word, the first word of every true child of God is? Daddy. That was true of your children, wasn't it? Those of you who have children. They watched you speak and finally the word came out. Daddy. And daddy's heart went, that's me. You're my kid. Now come here and see if you can walk to me. And all of your falling down. And the daddy just beams because that's his child. You and I are someone I'm speaking of Christians. We are someone not because, I'm someone not because I can preach a decent sermon maybe once or twice a month, not because I'm cute, or because I live in the right neighborhood, or because I wear the right clothes that are in style, or because I'm wealthy, or because I'm popular, or because I went out with girls in high school, or because, you know, whatever. I'm someone. You are someone because you're His. Because you're His. And you can say, I bear His name and I do not want to bring shame upon my daddy. So, oh Christians, how our lives would sing and be marked by profound joy if we really believed that God was our Father, that God loved us. God so loved the world that He sent Him to Bethlehem. The everlasting Father. Everlasting, you know, that really means that the Father thing doesn't stop. You can't take yourself out of the family. You say, oh, I have many a time. No, you haven't. He's a good Father. He'll bring you back. He'll wear your hind end out. And when tears run down your face and you say you're sorry, He'll say, well, come sit on my lap. Let's talk. Because you're mine. You're not the neighbor's kids. He's the everlasting Father. And not only have we been given this wonderful Counselor, not only have we been given the mighty God, not only have we been given the everlasting Father, we have also been given the Prince of Peace. I wonder why those words are used. It is horrible to be at odds and at war with God. It is not a good thing to struggle with Him concerning who will be called the Lord, right? Yourself or Him. For the Scripture says, every knee will one day bow down to the Lord of glory. We will bend the knee willingly out of a grateful heart that somehow we are there gazing at this Prince of Peace. Or we will be forced to our knees because we have refused His counsel. And judgment will come. You know, we're not people filled with peace. Our nation is characterized by frantic motion filled with just friction. You know, in most of that is just because of guilt. Our guilt drives us to try to atone for our wrongs by doing everything right or everything wrong. And let me tell you, friend, your best will never be good enough to relieve your guilt. It won't. You can't do that. Only God can declare you righteous and not guilty, and He will only do that if you cast yourself on Jesus Christ, the gift given to you. What is that song we used to sing in the 70s, back when we had long hair? I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe, and I needed someone to wash my sins away. That is what my Lord Jesus did for all who would believe. The Apostle Paul put it this way, therefore, right, the great word, because of this, therefore, since we have been declared righteous through faith, that means declared righteous, your sins are taken away, declared righteous through faith, because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have this peace? Do you know that there is absolutely nothing you can do to make your sins go away except to lift your empty arms to heaven and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I am yours. Do you know what this this means in your life. It means that you no longer have to live trying hard to win God's approval and everyone else's. It means you can stop fretting over whether or not you have done enough to make Him happy. It means that you can quit beating yourself up over your foolish mistakes. Why is that? Wouldn't that be great? Could you imagine that kind of peace? Why? Because your guilty, anxiety-ridden, good behavior cannot make you acceptable to God. That's pure heresy and Catholicism from the pit of hell. Jesus makes you perfect, and you need to learn to rest in that every day of your life. As God's child, you must stop living as if you're trying to win your Father's acceptance, and must learn to live knowing that you are accepted because of what the Prince of Peace has done for you. There's freedom there. There's peace there. You know, one life is lived out of guilt, and the other is just lived out of gratitude. So it's peace. For you see, peace comes when the pressure is off. And because of Jesus, for the Christian, the pressure is off. You're no longer under the law, where it condemns you for everything you've ever done. Nope, Christ was condemned for you. So do you know this peace? Do you know deep within the recesses of your being that you're actually forgiven? So there they are as we anticipate Christmas. Four gifts from God to you. Really one gift with a lot of separate names. Counsel that is always true. Power outside of yourself to persevere. Love from a Father and peace where there is once frantic worry. And Isaiah is telling you, come and receive. Now, yeah, I mean, you know how gifts work. You go back to your house and under the tree, there's all kinds of gifts there. They're all wrapped. You remember when you're little, you'd go and shake them and peek and try to find out what they were. But the day will come when you have to unwrap that gift and then make it your own and humbly receive what you do not deserve. Wisdom, strength, a lot of love, and forgiveness. They are here for you as you unwrap and embrace the gift of God's Son. For unto you, put your name there. Unto you, David, a child is born. Unto you, David, a son was given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called for you, your wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father,